We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and for the past few lessons, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to continue to do that today. You may want to turn in your Bibles and follow right along with us. We're looking at Matthew 6, beginning in verses 1 through 4, and we're going to go on from that a little bit. We're using as our guide the Sunday School notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday Schools of October the 12th, 1924. And we're talking about verses 1 through 4 of Matthew chapter 6, where he says the right motives are necessary when we do the Lord His service. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment. Before we do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And let's go directly now to Elam's Sunday School notes. He wrote, "Many religious people now delight in religious titles, wear religious clothes, and love the chief seats in religious meetings. Why do some seek titles and honor and preferment among men when it comes to service of God and matters of religion? Can there be any other motive of these things except the one condemned by Jesus, namely, to be seen of men, to have the glory of men? Does not Jesus say, 'Do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them'? Now righteousness must be done. Acts 10 and verse 35, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. We read in 1 John 3 and verse 7, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. We read in 1 John 2 and verse 29, everyone also that doeth righteousness is begotten of him. And to do God's righteousness, one must submit." Let me read to you what Paul said about this in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. "Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them that they may be saved." Now he's talking about his brethren, the Jews. And he says, "For I bear them witness, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." Remember how Jesus said in this sermon, "Your righteousness would exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees." They had their own righteousness that was based on their traditions, but they were not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. And it's not enough simply to acknowledge that God is righteous or that His ways are righteous. It talks about submitting ourselves to that righteousness. Doing righteousness is doing the will of God. His will is the only standard of right, and whosoever from the heart does that is righteous. Jesus came down from heaven to do God's will and not His own. He was baptized in Matthew 3 and verse 15 to fulfill all righteousness. In contrast with the above, doing God's will to be seen of men is hypocritical and vain. Any display now that is made in the worship of God, any musical program that is arranged to please men, and any service that is rendered through pride and for a show, is an abomination to God. Some do their baptism to be seen of men. They have in their hearts, they believe that they have been saved, and they want to display that to all men, and so they're baptized in a public baptism that they might show men. You know, when Philip was with the Ethiopian, they were in a place that was deserted by people, but there was water there, and without a great crowd of people around, Philip baptized the eunuch. It was submission to the righteousness of God, and not a act of pride to be seen of men. God's will must be done sincerely, truly, purely from the heart in order to obey and honor Him. The influence of Christians, all who obey God from the heart, is great. They are now the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and their constant and godly lives there to convict gainsayers and to win others to Christ. There can be no argument made in favor of Christianity so clear, so strong, so eloquent, logical, powerful, and convincing as truly pure, righteous, and godly lives. But whoever does righteousness, gives alms, prays, fasts, or does anything else in God's service to be seen of men is a hypocrite and has no reward of God. We read that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. Let me go turn back to that to get this in context. Matthew 6, 2 through 4. When therefore thou doest alms. Now, alms are the manner of giving to the poor. So when you're giving something for the benefit of those in need. When therefore thou doest alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, and thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. The spirit in which and the motives with which one is to do alms is plainly taught in God's word. One must give cheerfully, freely, regularly, helping all men as he has opportunity, Galatians 6 and verse 10. And he must do this with humility and without display, in obedience to God and to his glory. Trumpets are sounded to attract the attention of large bodies of people, such as armies, 1 Corinthians 14:8. And when hypocrites give alms, they sound a trumpet in synagogues and in streets in order to attract the attention of the greatest number possible. Well, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. They give to be seen of men, and they are seen of men, and receive the praise of men. Hence, they have received their reward, and this is all the reward they receive. God cannot accept and bless any service prompted by the motive to be seen of men, for such service is not offered to Him. Any display of liberality is hypocritical and condemned. The disposition to publish the gifts of the rich and to overlook the gifts of the poor to various causes is widespread. The disposition, too, to prize and praise the amount and not the motive is widespread. God looks at the heart and accepts the love which prompts the small as well as the large gifts. The widow who cast into the treasury her all, in casting in her two mites, gave more than the rich of their superfluity and was commended by Jesus. Let me read that to you from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Here we read, as he sat down over against the treasury and beheld how the multitude cast money into the treasury, And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a poor widow, and she cast in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow cast in more than all they that are casting into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their superfluity, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now Jesus guards so carefully his disciples against the motive of giving to be seen of men, that he charges them not to let the left hand know what the right hand does. God, who knows the heart and sees in secrets, will recompense all whom from pure motives give cheerfully and freely to his honor and glory. Now let's look at Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, how this applies to prayer. And when ye pray, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. And so in praying, as in almsgiving, and in doing righteousness, Christ's disciples must not be as the hypocrites. They must pray to God, and not to be seen and heard of men. To stand and pray means to assume an attitude of prayer. For if this were not done, it would not be known that these hypocrites were praying. Those who pray to be seen of men take their position of prayer on the corners and not on the sides of the street, because on the corners they can be seen from all directions. And in giving alms to be seen of men, these hypocrites pray to be seen of men. They are seen of men, and hence they have their reward, and this is all they will receive. To be sure, they are not praying to be seen of men. Christ's disciples must go into the inner chambers and close the doors behind them and pray to God in secret. And the King James Version calls that, go to your closet. Well, that'd be an inner chamber. I don't know if any of you have a prayer closet. It doesn't have to be a literal closet, like a place you would hang clothes or store towels, but just a secret place that you can go where others do not see you, and there go to God in prayer. Jesus does not, in this, condemn prayer in the congregation. We have examples of men leading prayer. In fact, men are to lift up their hands to draw attention to themselves when they're leading public prayer, so people will know that they are praying. But they're not praying their private prayers that way. They are praying their prayers to God in public, that those who are gathered together to worship God can follow those thoughts and pray their prayers in public that follow those thoughts. They're leading prayers. But Jesus does condemn, but he condemns a secret prayer in public places, or the motive of praying to be seen of men. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father know what things ye have need of before you ask him. And so not only is our prayer not to be a show, we don't have to pray a bunch of vain repetitions to God. Now, we're going to be discussing these vain repetitions again when we gather together for our next class. And isn't it so good that Jesus teaches us about the wrong way and the right way to pray?